Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we are talking about a young girl in the Bible, and we're also talking about some young girls from history as well. I have some quite neat stories of young girls who made a difference in some way or another. So Jesus, when he was on earth, he had a lot of people who would kind of follow him around. Because he did a lot of miracles and amazing things, everybody wanted to see. People wanted to hear what he had to say and hear the stories that he told. So there could often be big crowds around Jesus. So this day was no different. People were all crowding around. But when one man came up who really wanted Jesus' attention, he wasn't just coming to, you know, follow Jesus around. He had a real need. And he was a very important man. Well, people thought of him as being very important. He was the one in charge of the synagogue, which was like their religious meeting place. So the people around him thought he was very important, but to Jesus, everybody is important. He doesn't think of some people as being more important. So this guy comes along, his name is Jairus. And so Jesus stops and Jairus comes up and he says, "Please, please come to my house really quick. My little girl is very sick and she'll die if you don't come soon." So this guy knew that Jesus could help his little girl, and so he'd come to Jesus. And Jesus straight away started following Jairus to the house. And the little girl was about 12 years old, so they're hurrying along. But as Jesus is walking along, he suddenly stops and he says, "Who touched me?" Now, his disciples, his special friends were with him, and they said, "Well, that's a silly question to ask. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping you. You know, he's in this big crowd of people." But he said, "No, somebody touched me." Now, in the crowd, there was another lady. She was a lady who had a kind of sickness. She had like a health problem, and she'd had it for many years. And she'd spent all her money trying to get a cure for it, and instead she'd gotten worse. So she had come to Jesus. Now, the sickness that she had, she was thought of as unclean and she wasn't supposed to touch people. But she thought, if I could just touch Jesus' clothes, he could help me. He could heal me. And so she'd crept up behind and she had just touched like the hem of Jesus' clothes. And when she'd done that, straight away she could feel that Jesus had healed her. But then Jesus suddenly stopped and turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And she thought, "Oh no, you know, what have I done?" And so, but she was brave and she said, "It was me." And as she said, she started explaining her situation, how she had the sickness. And she knew that if she could just touch his clothes, that she would be healed. And Jesus didn't growl at her. He didn't say, you know, "You shouldn't have done that." Or, you know, he just said, "Your trust in me has made you well. Go in peace." And so he was very kind to this lady. And, you know, she was just as important to Jesus as the ruler of the synagogue. Because, you know, everybody is important to Jesus, no matter who you are. And so, but poor Jairus, here he is waiting for Jesus to come. It'd be a little bit like calling the ambulance, and on the way the ambulance stops to help somebody else. That would be really stressful and frustrating. And then somebody comes up and says, "Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter has already died." And he would have thought, "Oh no." You know, he tried to get to Jesus and Jesus had taken too long because he had stopped to help this other lady. But Jesus said, "Don't be scared, don't worry," to Jairus, "keep on trusting me." But you know, it seems like it's too late already. But Jesus keeps going there. And when they got there, there was a lot of noise coming from the house. There were people who had been hired to cry. Now that just sounds strange to us, but must have been something they did then. So they had mourners who were howling and crying outside. And Jesus said, "What's all the noise about? The little girl's only asleep." And then they all started laughing. They thought he was being silly. And, you know, she had died, but Jesus knew what he was going to do. And so he walked into the house and he said that no one was to come into the little girl's room except her mum and dad and three of his friends, Peter, James, and John. And then he went over to that little girl who was lying there and he took her little cold white hand and he said, "Get up, little girl." And straight away when he said that, she opened her eyes and then she got up out of bed. And Jesus said to his parents, "Your little girl is hungry. Give her something to eat." So that is a little girl in the Bible that Jesus helped. And so, yeah, Jesus cares about everybody. He cares about people who seem very important. He cares about children. And he cares about sick people. You know, he cared for that lady, even though other people thought of her as being unclean. He cares about every different kind of person. And he has time for us when we come to him and he will help us. He might not always do what we want him to do. He might not always make us better when we want to be better. But he will help us in some way or another. Now I'm going to sing a song called Jesus Loves Me. And this song is one of the most well-known children's hymns. And I'm going to tell you a little bit the story of how that song was written. So it was written by a lady. Her name was Anna Warner, and she was a very rich lady, well, at first. So she lived with her sister and with her parents, and they were very rich. They had a very nice house. But then things kind of went wrong, and they became a whole lot poorer. And so then, so that they would have enough money, her and her sister had to start writing. So they would write poems and stories to be published. And they wrote a book, which was a novel, and it was called Say and Seal. And in the story, there was a little boy called Johnny Fox who was dying. And a Sunday school teacher comforts him by taking him up in his arms, by rocking him, and making up a little song called Jesus Loves Me. So that's where that story came from, but it's a very nice hymn which just shows God's love for children and for everyone. So I'm going to sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Jesus.
So now I have a story called The Artist and the Gypsy Girl. And this is a really nice story. I really like this one. So many years ago, the artist Stenberg stood in his Dusseldorf studio. He had just promised to provide a painting of the crucifixion for a church building. It was to be a masterpiece, and he would be paid a big price for his work. In the weeks that followed, Stenberg searched out all he could of the facts of the death of Jesus. He was talented. He was famous. He was becoming wealthier every year. But Stenberg didn't have peace. The first brushful of colour touched the canvas, then another and another. One day the cross stood stark and upright on Calvary's hill. Day after day, Stenberg's brush caressed the canvas. Then suddenly he was tired. "I'll forget this," he declared. "I'll walk out to the country and sketch." It was spring and the woods were green. At the edge of the forest, Stenberg stopped. There a gypsy girl plaited a straw basket. Blue-black hair reached her waist. Her red dress was faded and torn. Her eyes were black, large and restless. "What a painting," thought Stenberg. The girl stared up at the artist. She smiled, threw her straw down, sprang up and raised her hands high above her head, twirling and dancing gaily in front of him. "Stand," cried Stenberg. The girl dropped her arms. "This week you must come to my studio. I'll paint you." "But, Signor," the girl said shyly, "I'm only a poor gypsy girl." "Come," he said. And she came in her red dress, with her hair tucked back with a flower. Stenberg was ready. "Sit," he commanded. Pepita had never been in an artist's studio before. Her questions amused Stenberg, but suddenly her eyes stopped at the painting of the crucifixion. It was almost completed. "Who is it?" she asked. "The Christ," the artist said carelessly. "But what are they doing to him?" "Crucifying him," he answered. "But who are those cruel people?" Stenberg threw his brush down. "Now look here," he said. "You stand there still and do not move your lips to speak." Pepita closed her eyes. She closed her lips, but her eyes never left the crucifixion. Posing for the day was over. At the door, Pepita stopped. "Was he bad?" she asked. "No, no, very good," Stenberg said. "Remember, be here the day after tomorrow." Each day that she came, she asked another question. "If he was good, why did they do it?" Stenberg tipped his head to one side. "Listen, I will tell you once for all." Hurriedly, he repeated the facts of Christ's death, and as he talked, he saw her black eyes fill with tears. One day, both paintings were finished, the one of the crucifixion and the gypsy dancing girl. For the last time, Pepita came to the studio. When she saw herself on the canvas, she clapped her hands with pleasure. Then she walked over to the other painting and stood silently. She turned to Stenberg. "You must love him very much, Signor, when he has done all that for you, do you not?" Then she was gone. Stenberg stood looking after her, but the street noises refused to drown out the sound of Pepita's voice. "Love him very much when he's done so much for you." All week he heard the question. "You must love him very much, do you not?" His restlessness, his dissatisfaction grew. He could stand no more. He tried going to church, and the vicar gave him absolution. "All will be well," he said. But when Stenberg left, his heart was still tormented. He determined to present his masterpiece to the church at a fraction of its cost. Is that going to help him? He found the vicar and told him his decision. "For what you have done," said the vicar, "God be with you." But even such a wonderful gift as this brought him no peace. Stenberg knew God was not with him. All that was with him was the question. "You must love him very much, do you not?" He walked night and day up and down the streets of Dusseldorf, trying to shake off his sadness of spirit, but in vain. One night he idly watched a group of people hurrying through a low doorway. It was curious, he thought, that the people who entered looked so happy. One day Stenberg decided to go to the house. He entered and sat down with the happy people. He listened to the preacher, a man who seemed to have found what Stenberg was looking for. That night, Stenberg found the answer to the restlessness in his life. No church going, no gift was enough. Jesus Christ had died on the cross for Stenberg, and at last the artist could say, "And how much I love him." The next morning, he couldn't keep this joy to himself. "How can I tell others?" he asked himself. "I can paint," he said with decision. And soon a great masterpiece was presented to the Dusseldorf Gallery for every visitor to see, a sermon for all to hear. One day he found in front of his picture a girl weeping. She turned, and it was Pepita. "It is you, Signor," she cried out. "Oh, Signor, if he had but loved me so." They both sat in front of the painting, and he told her the story of that wondrous death and the glorious resurrection. "For all men, for gypsies, for everyone, Christ Jesus had suffered and bled on the cross. All this he did for thee, for you, Pepita." The gypsy girl was quiet. Then she looked up. "I believe it," she said simply. 2 years later, Pepita died, trusting in Jesus. Her last words were, "All this I did for thee." There's a Bible verse that says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And now I have another story called A Little Japanese Girl. A little girl in Japan lay for 2 years in a TB sanitarium. Her little body was so thin and frail that she could hardly move in bed. One day, some Christian workers visited the hospital and left her a gospel tract. She was not able to even hold it, but a kind nurse propped it up on a stand and turned the pages one by one so that she could read them. As she read and reread that simple gospel message, it gripped her heart. She prayed, asking the nurse to help her by standing by to hear her voice in prayer. She asked the Lord for forgiveness for her sins, and God heard her prayer. The little sick patient was wonderfully saved. Now she wanted to share her newfound joy in her Savior with others. She read in the newspaper of a man named Iwata, condemned to death for murder. She decided to write him and tell him about Jesus. It took her 3 days to write one page, with what little strength she had, but at last she got it finished. Then she sent off her letter, enclosing the tract which had been given to her. The hardened criminal was indignant when he first read the letter, but later, as he reread it, his heart softened as he thought how much that letter had meant to the little girl who had sent it to him. He was touched to think that someone cared enough for him to write him a letter at such cost. He began to read the tract. Over and over again he read it. The truth began to dawn on his soul, and finally he believed it. God entered that Tokyo prison and saved that condemned murderer through the witness of that almost helpless little patient in the sanitarium. Sometime later, the converted murderer was taken to another prison, hundreds of miles away, and placed in death's row prior to his execution. One day he was singing a gospel hymn, which he had learned from some Christians who visited the jail at times. As his lonely cell echoed with the Lord's praises, he heard a voice call through the peephole to the next cell. It was the voice of another man named Yukaida, who had also found Christ as his Savior. What joy the two Christian prisoners now had as they talked together of Christ and the home above they were going to. Iwata and Yuchida began to pray and work for the salvation of the other men in death's row. The warden gave them permission to share their testimony for Christ with other prisoners when they were all together at mealtime. As a result, 41 condemned prisoners were won to the Savior in the 2 years that Iwata was in death's row. They wanted to be baptized, and the warden permitted them to use the prison bathtub for baptismal services. The whole atmosphere of the prison changed from frenzy and fright to Christian joy and peace. As the guards made their rounds along the corridors, they could hear gospel hymns coming from the cells. At last the time came for Iwata to die for his crime. As his last request, he asked that he might be taken to the TB sanitarium to see the little girl who had first written him the letter and sent him the gospel tract. His request was granted. Standing beside her bed, he told the story of what her letter and tract had done for him and his friends through the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tears poured down her cheeks as she heard the story of what God's love had done. Laying his hand upon her head, he then prayed for the Lord's blessing upon the poor little sufferer. He returned to the prison with joy, and soon after was at home with the Lord whom he loved and who had died to bring him there. So, sometimes God does, you know, heal people, like in the Bible story, the little girl that was healed, but that doesn't always happen. But if we love God and put our trust in Jesus, then even if, you know, if we do die, then we will go to be with God in heaven, and that's even better than being healthy. I'm going to sing a song that's special to me, and it's called What a Day That Will Be, because, you know, life is full of sickness and sadness, but this talks about a day that is coming where there will be no heartaches for all those that love God.
There is coming.
All right, now I'm going to read a story called There's an Animal in the Room. And this is another story about a little girl. One evening, a missionary and his wife were reading together in the African home. They were startled by the loud voice of a young native woman calling through the door. "Lady," she called, "tell this poor girl about the good God." The missionaries went to the door to see what was going on. There stood a young woman whose face was covered with dirt and her hair was matted and dirty. The missionary's wife thought to herself, she looks more like a wild animal than a girl. They were told that the girl had come a long way to hear the words from the missionary. They invited the girl to come in and spend the night with them. She was taken to her room and then the missionary and his wife prayed together. They prayed for help and guidance to say the right things to this girl so that she might understand that she was a sinner and needed to be saved from her sins and that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could save her. Suddenly, a few minutes after the girl had been shown to her room, there was a loud scream. Before the missionaries could move, they heard her running down the stairs. The terrified girl ran into the room. She was breathing hard and she looked as though she were about to faint. "Why didn't you tell me there was an animal in my room?" she gasped. "There is no animal in your room," said the missionary. "My wife will go back to your room with you." "No, no, it will jump on us," said the girl, pulling back. Taking the girl by the hand, the missionary's wife led the frightened girl gently but firmly back to the room. "Now, show me what scared you," she said. The girl pointed to the mirror on the wall above the dresser. Then the missionary realized the girl had never seen a mirror before. It was her own reflection that had frightened her. "That's you," she explained to the girl. "It's a reflection, just like when you walk beside a river and see the nearby trees and the water." After watching a few of her motions copied by the mirror's reflection, the girl was convinced that the animal was herself. "I'm so dirty and ugly," she said to the missionary. "Can I be clean like you?" The missionary's wife saw to it that the girl got a bath. Then she washed her hair and braided it for her. She was given a clean flowered print dress to put on. Looking at her new image in the mirror, the girl said, "I'm clean and pretty now." "Yes," agreed the wife, "but only on the outside." Then she went on to tell the young girl that on the inside she was just as dirty as she was before. She showed her from the Bible that God sees us dead in trespasses and sins. "Each one of us is like that," she explained to her. "Everyone in your village, everyone in Africa, everyone in the whole world is a sinner." "To make things worse," she added, "God hates sin, and sin cannot be in his presence." The young woman looked sadly at her missionary friend. "Then can I be clean on the inside too?" she asked. "Yes," answered the missionary, "but it's not by taking a bath and putting on a clean dress. The only way that we can be clean on the inside is to be washed by something that can wash away our sins from God's sight." "What will do that?" the girl asked anxiously. The missionary turned to 1 John 1:7 and read, "The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." She went on to explain to the girl how the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross for the sins of those who will believe on him. She showed the girl other verses from the Bible that told of the love of God and his Son for sinners just like her. The girl listened carefully to everything. Then in simple faith, she asked the Lord Jesus to wash away her sins and be her very own Savior. Now she was clean on the inside too. So I hope you've enjoyed these stories of these girls and have learned something from them.